Well, hello everyone, and once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, greeting you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, I thank God that he who bore the name of Jesus Christ also bore my sins in his own body on the cross. Well, here we are again today with another day of grace and another opportunity to present the claims of God's Son as the Savior of sinful men. And if there's anyone listening in today who's never been saved or born again by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, then I would strongly suggest that you stay tuned in, because I believe that God has caused you to listen to this program today. Yes, God is a loving God, and he wants you to be born again. And friend, he wants you to be saved today, because you know tomorrow may be too late. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1 we read, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." No, none of us are sure that our eyes will ever see the light of another day. Today's date may be on our tombstone as the date of our death. Listen, my friend, 5,400 people die every hour, 130,000 go into eternity every day, and over 47 million go off into the great beyond every year. And furthermore, it's only the grace of God that has prevented you from becoming part of these solemn statistics. I might add, too, that death is not the end of it all either, because we're told in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So, friend, please stay tuned to this gospel broadcast today to hear how you can be saved and born again. Yes, and if you realize that you're a sinner that needs a Savior, you can trust Christ as your Savior today and go on your way rejoicing, knowing of assurance that you'll be in heaven. And, friend, don't ever forget the fact that this might be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. Now let's listen to a beautiful hymn today. It's the best known hymn, I believe, of all time, and it's the familiar Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Through the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross.
Friends, I for one sure thank God today for the old rugged cross. It was there nearly 2,000 years ago that the Lord Jesus Christ, the just, became as though he were unjust so that he might bring us to God. He was the one who was wholly harmless and undefiled, and yet, my friend, in love for you and I, he shed his precious blood, which alone cleanseth from all sin. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Father and God, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son, thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee, Father, that he came from the throne above and came down to this sin-cursed earth with but one purpose in mind, to seek and to save those who were lost. We thank thee, our God, that it meant Calvary. It meant the old rugged cross. It meant giving his life's blood for those of us who were not deserving of the least of thy mercies. And our God, we thank thee today that Jesus Christ is no longer on the cross, nor is he in the tomb. But time and again thy word hath declared the truth that this man, after it offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, he completed the work that thou didst give him to do. And now, our God, there's a way to heaven made possible through faith in him. We ask thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Honor afresh thy Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, if you care to follow me as I read the scriptures today, I'll be reading in the New Testament book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and I'll begin reading at verse 19. This is Luke 16 and verse 19. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, friends, I especially want you to notice the expression in verse 25. We read there at the beginning of verse 25 in Luke chapter 16. But Abraham said, Son, remember. Son, remember. In the old Mark's Gospel chapter 9, we can read three times over concerning the place that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us of, where the worm dieth not, and the fire that is not quenched. And in this particular portion of Scripture, I believe that the worm spoken of is the memory of the individual. And I firmly believe that memory is that which will make hell such a terrible place for Christ's rejecters who have been privileged to hear the gospel of God's grace. I believe that's the reason Abraham said to the rich man in Luke 16 and in verse 25, Son, remember. Remember. Now, there may be some listening to this broadcast today, and you don't believe in a literal hell. You don't believe in a place of eternal torment and the thought of spending eternity in the lake of fire. Well, you just can't allow yourself to believe such fantasy. Listen, my friends, you can call it fantasy if you wish, and you can hide your head in the sands of unbelief. But just remember, because you don't believe in hell doesn't in any way detract from the God-given fact that such a place does exist. Yes, my friend, and I'll tell you something else. If you die unsaved, 5 seconds after you die, you'll believe in hell. You know, the Bible tells us, let God be true, and every man a liar. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, here in Luke chapter 16, tells us about a rich man who died and went to hell. Yes, he tells us about this man's soul, and how when he died, it went into the pit, for we read, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Now, you might ask, why does this preacher have to talk about hell? Why doesn't he tell us about more pleasant things? Well, friend, the reason I'm telling you about hell today is simply because if you're not saved or born again, then you are, according to the Bible, headed down the broad road that leads to hell and the ultimate lake of fire. And if I'm to be a messenger for God, then I must tell you the whole message. And woe be unto me if I keep back any portion of God's word. You know, I believe there are too many so-called preachers today who never tell their listeners about the wrath of God which is soon to be poured forth upon this Christ-rejecting world. But friend, today, I must, in view of the judgment seat of Christ, and in love for your dying soul, never dying soul, tell you that if you're not saved when you die, you're going to go to the place that Jesus Christ tells us about, an eternity of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And my friend, remember, the same Jesus that tells us of heaven with all of its glories also tells us of hell with all of its horrors. And surely you wouldn't accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of drawing this picture just to terrify people or to alarm them now, would you? Friend, he was speaking of something real. And he isn't speaking parabolically either, because he names names, and that's something he never did when he told a parable. But friend, we read here about a rich man who fared sumptuously every day while he was alive on earth. Then Jesus Christ tells us how the rich man died, and we find him in the great beyond, lifting up his voice in hell and crying in torment. Oh, what a contrast! Yes, the rich man in time became the beggar in eternity, and the beggar in time became the rich man in paradise. One day, my friend, the rich man was full of life and enjoying the pleasures of time and sense. Then all of a sudden, he's ushered into the caverns of the doomed and damned. My friend, is hell going to be your portion throughout all eternity? Is it? Are you living your life with a devil-inspired philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry because you don't believe in a hell? Or perhaps you believe in hell all right, but you feel certain that the life you are leading is sufficient to bring about your escape from such an end? Well, friend, to you who believe that your life warrants an eternity in heaven, let me ask you, are you saved? Are you sheltered beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, have you ever seen yourself as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner? Have you ever been born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above? Friend, has there ever been a time in your life when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? And finally, has there ever been a time when, a place where, and a manner how, you were born into the family of God? Well, friend, if you can truthfully answer yes to these questions, then you should thank God afresh today for His unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, but if you can't answer yes to these questions, then according to God's Word, not me, but according to the Bible, whether you believe it or not, you're on your way to join the rich man in the place that Jesus Christ called hell. And you too will be haunted with those terrible words, "Son, remember, remember." Now, my friends, let's just be earnest for a few minutes. You know, I find it very difficult these days to be able to get people to be serious. Yes, it's difficult to get people in a serious mood regarding their soul's eternal welfare. It seems as though people are laughing themselves into hell rather than listening to what God has to say concerning their lost condition in His sight and the plan of salvation which He has devised through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friend, you'll have to admit that God was earnest when He gave Christ to die for your sins. And Jesus Christ was also earnest when He went to Calvary and suffered, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Yes, my friend, He was sincere when He took upon Himself all the sins of mankind. And why? Because if He hadn't, we would all be doomed and damned to a terrible place called hell, the place of dreadful remembrance. Now, friends, I ask you sincerely today, if man could save himself, then why did Jesus die? If so-called good works could atone for sin, then why did Jesus die? If baptism, dedication, church membership, confirmation, and communion could save your soul, then why did Jesus die? And finally, if there is no hell awaiting the Christ rejecter at the end of his sojourn called life, then why, oh why, did Jesus die? Ah, my friend, Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross because He loved us unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ loves every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world today. And friend, if you continue to neglect God's offer of love and mercy and grace through the death of His Son, then all I can say is that you'll have no one to blame but yourself when you drop into hell. Now friends, my heart is very heavy when I hear men speak so flippantly about a place called hell. They use the expressions in cursing, and some even make jokes about it. But friend, listen, God is not to be trifled with. These same people who talk so lightly about hell are soon going to feel the terrible vengeance of a holy and righteous God when His wrath is manifested by their being cast into that terrible place. Yes, they're going to be cast into hell. And there'll be no joking there, no worldly pleasures there, no salvation there either. Nothing but eternal torment and remembrance. Remembrance. And all because men and women, boys and girls, refuse to believe the Word of God, which says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul that sinneth it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Ye must be born again, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And why do people refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Simply because they are led captive by the devil and are subject to his mind and will. That's what we're told in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. They would rather depend upon their own finite reasoning than upon the unalterable and proven precious Word of God. Now then, let's think for a moment about this rich man in hell who is crying for one drop of water. He who had known the luxuries of life was now begging for a mere drop of water to cool his parched tongue. Ah, but listen, friend, his cries were to of no avail. He had passed out of time into eternity without Christ. And friend, if you were to die where you are and as you are today, would you be with Christ in glory? Or would you, like the rich man in hell, be languishing in your eternal abode of torment? Remembering. Which would it be? Heaven or hell? Yes, it's a most solemn thing to hear the gospel of God's grace and then to trample underfoot the Son of God. You know, I believe that many a soul has sat in the comfort of a home or automobile listening to the gospel with little or no concern about their soul's eternal destiny, and in a matter of moments, or even perhaps hours, their life on earth had ceased to exist. So friend, I ask you in love for your soul today, if your heart should stop beating right now, where would you spend eternity? You know, in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 29 we read, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Friend, if you were to die today, right now, where would it be? Heaven or hell? It must be one of the two. There only are two mentioned in the Word of God. No, there's no intermediate place. And furthermore, we read in our text for today that once the soul does go to hell, there is absolutely no second chance of salvation. Listen, friends, man is so constituted that if there was a second chance of salvation, he would never accept the first. He would go on in sin without any thoughts of eternal punishment, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now then, we also notice that the rich man in Luke chapter 16 could not receive any comfort from abroad either, because we're told that there was a great gulf fixed, and God had fixed that gulf. Yes, my friend, and that gulf means separation. Why, one of the saddest words in all the English language is separation. Why do people cry when a loved one is departing for overseas? Separation. And why do mothers cry when their little boy or girl starts off on the first day of school? It's separation. And why do people cry, faint, quiver, and quake when a loved one is lowered into the ground? It's separation. But listen, friends, the time is coming when that praying Christian woman is going to be separated from that godless, Christ-rejecting husband. The time is coming when that sainted mother will be called home to heaven, and that scorning, infidel son and daughter will be cast into hell, unless he or she accepts Jesus Christ as his or her salvation. And you who have considered accepting Christ, but have put it off for a more convenient time, let me remind you of the words found in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And Solomon the wise man tells us over in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, that you would be wise today and flee from the wrath of God, because we read that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now then, when the rich man in hell was crying out for comfort and relief from the flames of torment, what answer did he receive? He heard these words coming from beyond the great gulf. Son, remember. Remember. And these are words which I would like to engrave upon your heart, my friend, if you're unsaved today. Son, remember. Friend, God wants you to wake up and remember before it's eternally too late. God wants you to remember those scripture verses you learned in Sunday school many, many years ago. He wants you to remember the promises you made to your Christian parents before they went to be with the Lord. God wants you to remember the promise you made on that bed of sickness when you begged God for another chance at good health and spiritual wealth. He wants you to remember those gospel sermons that once stirred your heart and soul. And friend, God wants you to remember these words which we read in Hebrews chapter 9. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. Now perhaps there's someone listening in today, and the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit's conviction, has touched off the secret spring of memory. You remember how your father read the Scriptures every night before you went to bed. You remember those hot tears of conviction which you shed after Mother tucked you in for the night. And perhaps you remember how many times you awoke in the middle of the night and wondered if the Lord had come to take Mom and Dad to heaven and you were left behind. And you remember how you sat in the gospel meeting time after time, seemingly undisturbed by the preaching. But within that troubled breast, the Holy Spirit was convicting you of sin and judgment to come. But friend, as you listen today to the voice of the gospel, you are still unsaved and you're still on your way to hell. The years are rolling by, and you're still serving the devil. You go on serving sin, self, and Satan, as though you didn't have a God to meet in eternity. And yet in the book of Amos, chapter 4, and verse 12, we read this solemn warning, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Friend, what preparation have you made to meet God? Well, remember, friend, you'll either meet God in time as your heavenly Father, or you'll meet God in eternity as the righteous judge at the great white throne judgment. Now you know there's a man in hell today, and he's been there for over 6,000 years. His name is Cain. He it was in Genesis chapter 4 who sought to approach unto God without the shedding of blood. Today as he paces back and forth in hell with the blood of his brother Abel still staining his hands, he's remembering. He's remembering. He remembers how his parents, Adam and Eve, told him about the divine covering for sin, the shedding of blood that we read about in Genesis 3:21. Cain is remembering today how he despised the pattern set forth by the God of grace and how he sought to please God by the efforts of his own hand. Neither wonder we read in Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. There's another man in hell today who's also remembering. His name is Judas. He remembers how he listened as Christ preached that lovely Sermon on the Mount. He remembers how Christ healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, cast out demons, and even raised the dead. And friend, he is haunted today with those words of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Friend, wherefore art thou come? And betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Yes, memory was at work. And Judas's memory woke up before he died because he went out and destroyed himself, taking his remorse and despair with him into a lost sinner's hell. And then I think of those antediluvians who we read about back there in the book of Genesis. They're down in hell today too, my friend. Do you think they've forgotten how Noah pleaded with them? They laughed at the old man and his ark of safety. And I don't doubt if you had gone and preached to them a week before the flood and told them of the fact that there was a hell, not one of them would have believed it. Yes, they were told of the forthcoming wrath of God that would sweep upon them and put them into a watery grave. Ah, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. But did their unbelief alter the fact that the flood did come? No, because God had spoken. And the ironic part about their case is the fact that though they were completely engulfed in the floodwaters of God's wrath, they are even now, today, crying for water to ease the effect of the never-dying flames in hell. And they're remembering. They're remembering. Well, friends, in closing, let me say that this is still the day of God's grace. You can escape the flames of hell only by the way as shown in God's precious word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14 and verse 6, he himself declares, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Friend, listen. You can go to heaven by only one way, but you can go to hell any way you choose. In closing, my friend, I want you to know that the easiest thing in the world to do is to be saved, to be born again, to become a child of God. But you first of all must acknowledge that you're a sinner. You must admit there's nothing you can do to save your own soul. And if there was, why did Jesus die? If you and I could get to heaven by good works and religious activities and living a good, clean life, so-called, then why did Jesus Christ die that shameful and ignominious death at Calvary's cross? No, my friend, he died on the cross as the only hope we have for eternal salvation. And friend, if you were to ask me today, like the Philippian jailer over there in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, what must I do to be saved? Well, friend, I'd give you the same answer today, because it's just as valid today as it was nearly 2,000 years ago. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And friend, you'll not only be saved for time, but thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, we ask thy blessing upon the word that has just gone forth. Give those who are listening today neither rest nor peace till they find it in thy beloved Son. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. At zip code is 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.